Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Skyscrapers without air conditioning, today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me and my co-host Garrett in the studio today for the second of our April newsworthy clips. Garrett, tell us, what are newsworthy clips?
Newsworthy clips are clips that are newsworthy. This means they are worthy of being in the news. They are interesting. They give us something new to learn.
Yeah. And our newsworthy clips are not always really news, meaning they're not from today. There are articles that are current, but they're not from today. And so they're more informational and interest stories. Of course, they are chosen and included in Advanced because we want you to have a chance to interact with the kind of English you wouldn't normally find in an English textbook. And so today, we're going to be talking about skyscrapers, and in particular, skyscrapers that are doing something pretty skyscraper-ish.
That's a fun word.
Yeah, that was a tough one for me, too, there. Not a real word, obviously, but nonetheless, something that skyscrapers don't usually do. This article is called The Skyscraper That Doesn't Need Air Conditioning. Now, Garrett, have you ever lived in a skyscraper?
No, I don't think so. The highest floor I've ever lived in was my college freshman year. I lived on the 9th floor.
I have had the opportunity to work in only one skyscraper. And oddly enough, in my job in that skyscraper, I've had the opportunity to interact with a lot of systems engineers who work on managing that skyscraper. And I will tell you, they are shockingly complicated things. You know, it's not just a matter of, I mean, you'll be familiar with the issue of water pressure in your home, right?
Yeah, we've had some issues with that at our house recently, in recent weeks, actually.
That's right. Depending on which floor you live on, right, you may or may not have a lot of water pressure. We basically have to pump water up to higher floors. But, you know, if you're in a skyscraper and the water is coming from the very top, that water is going to be at an incredible pressure by the time it gets to the bottom, right?
Yeah.
And so they actually stagger this through the building. There's these systems that manage water to make sure that water is at acceptable pressure levels on different floors. And the same is true for all kinds of things, air conditioning, climate control things, so that's air conditioning and heating. It's also true for electricity use, things like elevators, all of these things. And the consequence of that is that skyscrapers suck up a lot of resources.
Sure.
Yeah. So they're efficient in some ways because they group people together, but they really do suck up all kinds of power. And one of the things that sucks up a lot of that power is air conditioning. So anytime you can simplify a building, you're doing a good thing if you can get the same sort of outcome with less resources. And I think that's essentially what we're going to focus on today. Listeners, if you have your April Advanced magazine, I would encourage you to join Garrett and I as we open up our magazines to the newsworthy clips, and we have a look at the one entitled The Skyscraper That Doesn't Need Air Conditioning. Today, our word count is a little different, and so we're basically going to break it into three readings instead of the usual two. Let's jump into that first reading with Linda now.
The Skyscraper That Doesn't Need Air Conditioning. Modern skyscrapers may as well be spaceships. Their exteriors are usually impenetrably smooth. Their shapes are often aerodynamic, and for the most part, if you want to open a window, forget about it. The new Shenzhen headquarters for the Chinese fintech company WeBank punches holes right through this convention. Designed by the architectural firm SOM, the 30-story tower employs a diverse range of ventilation techniques, that break the seal of the typical glass and steel skyscraper.
All right. Garrett, I don't know if you have spent any time in an older home in, you know, for example, a major Asian city like Singapore or Taipei or Hong Kong. Have you spent any time in like the traditional, for example, Chinese style shop house?
It depends on what you mean by spent time, but I've spent like a couple of nights.
Okay.
In one before.
So a shop house, first of all, I suppose we should explain it. It's basically a 2 or 3 story building that has...
I don't really know what a shop house is.
Well, they're long and thin, and you see them on old streets in cities like Taipei. So for example, you know, they're 2 or 3 stories high. There's kind of a sidewalk running under the second floor of the first part. So you'd see it on like, you know, a traditional old street. Kind of, you know, there's like a store on the first floor, family living above, that sort of thing.
Sure.
There are a number of good examples around that let you explore this style of architecture. One of the interesting things about them is that they do stay relatively cool without huge energy use. Like they're designed to be efficient because they're from a time before all of this technology. So architecture, you know, has a knowledge base that allows it to avoid all of the electricity use, but that hasn't always been used. And I think we're seeing a mixture of those kind of efficient techniques with modern building. And so I find this article kind of interesting. It tells us here that modern skyscrapers may as well be spaceships. What do they mean by that?
Well, they are complicated. They are new. And they have a lot of different moving parts to understand. And I think there's a lot of design space in them.
Definitely true. But in the second sentence here, they add to that, their exteriors are usually impenetrably smooth. Impenetrably smooth kind of means isolated. You can't get into it. It's like closed off from the outside world. It also mentions that their shapes are aerodynamic, which means kind of space-shaped, spaceship-like. Think a sports car.
It means it moves through the air in a very efficient way, and part of that, it just goes back to that word smooth. There aren't a lot of things sticking out.
Yeah. And then in returning to that idea of being impenetrable, meaning you can't get through it, for the most part, if you want to open a window, forget about it.
Forget about it.
You can't open a window. Part of that's for safety reasons, you know?
Yeah.
Like I had the great adventure of being in a skyscraper once during a typhoon. And the winds that get kicking up on those higher floors are almost unbelievable, you know? They have a sort of natural sway to them, some of those buildings. Yeah. So, nonetheless, don't open a window, you might blow out. That's the way it is. So there are good reasons for the way that these skyscrapers are built, but nonetheless, they are what they are. Now, something new has been introduced in Shenzhen, the Shenzhen headquarters for the Chinese fintech company WeBank. Now, Garrett, we have marked there as a word fintech. That's actually sort of an amalgamation of other words, right?
Yes. So that would be financial technology. So combining things like banking with technology.
So this one's called WeBank. And if it's a fintech company, presumably it's like offers online banking services, online financial services, things like that. But this headquarters building punches holes right through the convention. Now, when they say punching holes here, they're not really talking about like making holes in the side of the building, I don't think.
No.
They're rather talking about the convention, which in this case is not a meeting of people, like at a convention center. It means kind of a standard situation or rule, a way of doing things. So if they're punching holes in it, what are they doing?
Well, they're changing that up. They're doing something that's unexpected, that's unusual, that is not like that accepted standard, which is those smooth aerodynamic skyscrapers.
Okay, and now they've done this intentionally. It was designed by an architectural firm called SOM, and it's a 30-story tower that employs a diverse range of ventilation techniques. Now, ventilation, that's for airflow, right, in
yes.
a building? So we have terms like ventilation shaft, for example, which is a passage that allows air to move, things like that. And we see the more conventional English word vent, which is sort of a hole that has maybe some bars on it that maybe warm or cool air comes out. So they've got different ways of ventilating the building that break the seal of the typical glass and steel skyscraper. So when they break the seal here, what are they doing?
Well, it's the same saying as we heard just a moment ago, to punch holes through the convention, to break seals of this typical way of doing things.
I think this also has a literal meaning, a literal meaning.
That's so fair.
I think, you know, we were talking, they were making, for example, they drew attention to the idea that you can't usually open a window in a skyscraper. The idea being that a skyscraper is kind of a self-contained environment, like it's an isolated environment. But I think here, when they're punching holes in the convention, what they're actually doing is opening the building up to the outside world so that air can flow. I'm not entirely sure. It hasn't said that explicitly, but I would guess that they are suggesting that. And that brings us to the end of our first reading, right?
That's right.
We're ready to do the next one. Listeners, let's jump into that with Linda now.
Completed in early 2025, the naturally ventilated high-rises design uses open-air terraces, operable windows, and precisely engineered indoor atria to bring natural air inside and throughout the building. Large double-height spaces on the edges of the building are open to the air, and sliding doors and pop-out windows around the building let air move inside easily. Access to airflow is also prioritized within the center of the building. Multiple atria run vertically through several floors and create both visual interest and connectivity for workers, as well as a pathway for air to flow through the space. Like the voids inside a block of Swiss cheese, the atria are negative space that allow hot air to move up and out of the building through a phenomenon known as the stack effect.
Okay, so this building was completed in early 2025, and it tells us it's naturally ventilated, as opposed to artificially ventilated, I suppose, meaning by air conditioners. So it is designed to use open air terraces. Are you familiar with terraces?
Yes.
I think of tea farms when I think of
terraces, or rice farms. Kind of terrace. I think the similar idea is that a terrace is flat and might stick out from something larger. So like rice terraces in like the island of Bali kind of stick out from the hillside, whereas terraces in a building are kind of like large balconies sometimes.
Okay.
They're flat areas. You can go out, but they're open to the air.
Outdoor areas.
Yeah.
Scattered up the building. That would be, I guess, the idea there. It has operable windows, meaning you can open the windows. Now, presumably there's safety features on them so that you
don't
fly
out
away or fall out or whatever. And precisely engineered indoor atria. Now, you actually just mentioned this. There was an atrium at the university I attended. That's my only experience with an atrium.
Yeah.
You have had more experience with them, though.
Maybe. Yeah. I've never seen the plural atria, but it sounds cool. We usually hear the singular atrium. It's kind of a room in a building. It doesn't have like a really specific useful function, like a kitchen or a bathroom. It's more a space to walk through. It's often nicely decorated. Could be very peaceful. Maybe there's often a lot of plants.
To be honest, I've always thought of it as a fancy word for lobby, but that doesn't really make sense because their lobbies are at entranceways and atriums are not always in entranceways.
Not always, right? But I'd say they can be.
Frequently, though, they have like seating, you know, lots of, like you mentioned the plants, frequently there's lots of seating space in atriums.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of a gathering place or a place for people to rest in between places.
You might
maybe
think of a big kind of open room or hallway in a like a museum that's filled with plants. It's very beautifully decorated with some benches and other hallways leading off of it that go to the different wings with exhibits.
Yeah, it's like a hub.
Yeah.
In the middle of places. The one I first interacted with was sort of between the student center, the cafeteria, the library. It was kind of this meeting area in the middle. So nonetheless, they have engineered these indoor atria along with the outdoor terraces that bring natural air inside and then spread it throughout the building. So presumably, because these are large areas, they can be sort of connected to the outside without, you know, papers flying around. There's no desks and stuff like that, right? And they're at like a hub location, sort of in the middle of spaces, so air can move from them throughout other spots throughout the building, as it said. Large double-height spaces on the edges of the building are open to the air. Double-height spaces. What does that indicate to you?
Maybe spaces that are the height of two floors?
Maybe. It's, I mean, it definitely indicates they're taller, right? They're double the normal height. Exactly what it says, essentially. Double the normal height spaces. And they also have sliding doors and pop-out windows around the building to let air move inside easily. So it seems that the priority here is airflow.
Yeah.
As opposed to air cooling. Access to airflow is also prioritized within the center of the building. So they give us more atria here. Multiple atria run vertically through several floors and create both visual interest and connectivity for workers. Now, that is kind of what I think of an atrium as doing. You mentioned the plants, right? So presumably these are sort of tall, thin spaces that run up and down floors, like you can look out over the space, that kind of thing. Is that what you're picturing here?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of all the spaces I've been with large kind of open vertical spaces, like large tall libraries where you kind of look up at the other floors above you and all the shelves. Some of those are quite beautiful.
Yeah, hotels do this a lot too, right? Like sort of a hollow space in the middle with rooms all around it. I suppose you could describe that as an atrium there too. So this has been prioritized. I'm noting here that they say they create visual interest and connectivity for workers. So you can move from one space to another through them, presumably. And they're something to look at. So they're kind of breaking up the gray of the usual building. And that kind of goes along with the idea of having plants and things like that. It also provides, and this, I suppose, is important for cutting out air conditioning, a pathway for air to flow through the space. They then use this word void. Tell us about the void.
Well, void really just means emptiness or nothingness.
And they describe it as being similar to Swiss cheese.
Yum, yum. I do like Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese is that kind of cheese that does have a lot of holes or voids in it.
It's actually kind of the cheese we think of when we see cartoon cheese.
Right, especially if there's like a mouse next to it.
Yeah, they put holes. It's got the holes in it. Those are caused by air bubbles, of course, which are basically empty spaces, and that's what a void is. So like the voids, the atria are negative space that allows hot air to move up and out of the building through a phenomenon known as the stack effect. So two things there. What is negative space?
Well, it's space where there's presumably nothing, although that's not totally true, but something else wants to fill it in so that air kind of moves into it, just like a vacuum effect.
I think of it as a space that draws things out, right? Because if you're a positive space, you're pushing things out.
Sure.
Right? But you're drawing things out into a negative space. And then they tell us there's this phenomenon known as the stack effect. Effectively, what that means is the air moves up and leaves the building through these atriums. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that brings us to our third reading. Let's do it together now.
Luke Lung, an engineer and sustainability lead at SOM, who designed the Atria, says the building has up to 6 air changes every hour, or a nearly complete venting of the air inside. For the health of people inside, particularly in the case of an airborne virus like COVID, such frequent air changes are optimal. In 30 minutes, it would eliminate 95% of all the contaminants in the floor using natural means, Lung says. The Atria also have a social side, offering varying views within the building and across floors. Their borders become a kind of gathering place, with staircases running between floors and flexible workspaces around their edges.
All right, so we're introduced to someone here. Who is that?
That is Luke Lung, an engineer and sustainability lead at SOM, and he designed the Atria.
Now, that SOM name, we've heard that already. That was not the company that paid for the building. It was the architectural firm that designed the building. And see, this makes sense because Luke designed the Atria. What does he say of it?
All right. He says the building has up to 6 air changes every hour, or a nearly complete venting of the air inside.
Okay. So air changes, I assume what that means is every hour, you basically change the air in the building 6 times. Is that what that suggests to you?
Yes.
As in it's all new air within the building?
I think of that button on your car that you push when you just want to kind of cycle the same air through the AC over and over again because you don't want new air from the outside. Maybe there's kind of bad air out, a lot of exhaust. And you just get kind of the same air over and over again. But then, of course, if you have bad smells in your car or something like that, it's not very pleasant.
You got to crack a window.
Exactly.
Change the air.
In this case, though, you're getting new air constantly because of all that flow.
Interesting. My understanding was recycling the air in the car made it cooler because you didn't have to have the air conditioner cool the hot outside air.
Yeah.
But I hadn't thought of the... Yeah, you do need fresh air from time to time, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to be venting my car a lot more often now. I'm pretty sure about that. Okay, so this is important. It goes on to tell us basically for health of people inside, particularly in the case of an airborne virus like COVID. There's actually a very famous disease called Legionnaire's disease.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, and the first case of it was spread through air conditioning at sort of a conference of people who belong to the Legion, military veterans.
Hmm.
Yeah. So interesting. Apparently, this is a sort of a pressing issue. So such frequent air changes are optimal. Now, that's an interesting term because basically it implies that most skyscrapers don't change their air 6 times an hour. It's much less, right?
Yeah.
That would be the implication here. So 6 is a high number for the number of times you're changing the air. In 30 minutes, it would eliminate 95% of all the contaminants in the floor. In the floor? That must mean on the floor of the building, right? As opposed to in the actual floor you're walking on.
Yeah.
Using natural means, according to Lung. Okay. So the Atria have another benefit. Now, this is the one that I'm more familiar with from my time in university. What's this benefit?
Sure. That is the social side. It offers varying views within the building and across floors. Okay. So you're not looking at the same thing constantly.
They described that earlier as being like the visual draw, right? Gives you something to look at, something interesting. It also tells us that their borders have become a kind of gathering place with staircases running between floors and flexible workspaces around their edges. So I guess the idea here is they've sort of taken this technique of cooling and they've integrated it into the building so that it's multi-use. That's always kind of better, I suppose, than having just a giant shaft run up through the center of the building that nobody sees or has any access to. Well, Garrett, what do you think? Is this the way of the future?
We didn't talk at all about the pricing, how much it costs to build something unique like this. Obviously, they're probably saving money on air conditioning, but there might be other costs involved, and that could affect whether or not this will take off.
That is a good question. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I just thought of the savings, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely true.
Very excited about the savings I was. But I also, you know, sometimes I tend to like cold as opposed to room temperature.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So sometimes when they turn off the air conditioner, you know, there's things that come with that air, even if it's not hot, like humidity, things like that, that make it a little more uncomfortable.
Right.
So I know it's not necessarily great for the environment or for the wallet, but I do very much enjoy climate control, having the ability to sort of...
Well, and I'm sure this wouldn't work in places that do get really cold. Shenzhen is a city that's it's even closer to the equator than where we are right now. Mm-hmm. So it can work a bit better. But if you went up north in that same country to a place like Beijing, it might not work so well.
There might be an issue of heating rather than cooling.
Right.
I think my key question on deciding whether or not I would want to be in a building like this is how hot can you get it? How cold can you get it?
Mm.
Like when you want to change the temperature.
Yeah.
Like, do you have control over the temperature or do you just have control over airflow at whatever temperature the air is? That's sort of the question that strikes me. Nonetheless, listeners, we are coming to the end of our time for today, but we do have one more newsworthy clip for you tomorrow. Please come back and join Garrett and I as we discuss that then. But until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Garrett.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.